true story. When I was in my 20s, I had a great idea for a book, and I thought it was going to be like my millionaire thing, you know? It was going to be called The Recliner, The Decline of the American Family. It's catchy, all right? And the whole idea behind this book was that there are certain inventions that have pulled our families apart, right? Creating a distance in intimacy. And back in the early 2000s, to me, the family nemesis was the recliner, right? This is what tore families apart. And I believed, in a comedic way, but I really did believe this because I wouldn't let Corey get one in our house, right? And this is before there was like love seat recliners and couch recliners. Those are different. We have those now. But it was the one person recliner that everyone fought to get in that seat, but it was usually grandpa's seat, right? Grandpa had the recliner. And the thing with the recliner is you were all by yourself, right? There was no snuggling because that looked weird because the arms go back. And there was no sharing of popcorn. And there was no cozying up to each other. You were sitting all by yourself. And to me, that was the decline of the American family. That's how it all started. But I had more chapters in my book. Chapter 2, bucket seats. All right? You remember when the three of us snuggled in on the bench of one seat in a car, right? We were right up there, my dad's Oldsmobile, my dad, my sister, and me. We were so intimate then. And you know, there's other things that have individualized or decreased our intimacy. Screens play a big part in it, right? Screens play a big part. We used to share one TV with like three stations, right? And we used to plan when we were gonna sit down and watch the TV together. But now, everyone has their own screen and you can choose whatever you want to watch, and you usually have headphones, so you're not even listening to what other people are watching. The Mercers, we can all be in the car, and Cam will be watching football highlights. Peyton will be watching somebody play a video game on YouTube. Corey will be putting monsters on a singing island. And I will be listening to talk radio. And that's how it works. Four Mercers, one car, doing four totally different things. At least when my sister and I were in my dad's car, we would fight over the control and the radio. We were communicating, right? And there's other modern things that have changed how we interact with another. Do you know what two modern advancements have changed neighborhoods? I'll give you a hint. One has to do with climate control. Air conditioning. Before, I do too. Yeah, I do too. But before there was air conditioning, guess what happened when you got hot inside your house? You went outside your house. And then you talked to your neighbors once you were outside your house. Another modern advancement that happened is attached garages. I don't have this luxury, but you have a remote, you pull into your garage, you shut your garage, you go into your house. It's no more, hey Stan, lawn's looking great. Or, you know, how you doing, Susie? And Susie's like, I'm living the dream. You know, there's no more communication between neighbors anymore, right? It's changed. And a lot of these things have just changed how much easier it is for us to be independent. It's easier for us to isolate ourselves. Other things, online groceries, right? You can't pick up dates in the grocery store anymore. You do it online. Keep buying Peapod because my husband works for them, so keep buying that. But I'm just trying to prove a point here, but my kids are going to college soon, so keep doing Peapod. Pretty much you can order anything online, right? You can have it there an hour or two to your house. You can do school online. You don't even have to go to the classroom anymore. You can work from home, right? You can even go to church by just turning on the TV. I know when you guys don't come to Northside, this is what you're doing, right? Streaming it, getting on your knees and praying. Nothing wrong with any of these things. But it has limited our community, right? And remember our goals for Northside for this year? We have four goals. We're gonna grow in numbers. We're gonna see this place blow up. We're gonna grow in faith. We're gonna see our faith blow up. We're gonna grow in service. We're gonna be serving like we didn't even know that we could serve. And we're also going to grow in community. It's a challenge to grow in community when our world has kind of decreased in community in so many different ways. Community, the short answer, if you're wondering what it is, com means with, and then unity, look at it, it's right there in the name. So the meaning of community is being unified or having a common union or bond. Being unified or having a common union and bond. For the Christian community, our common union is Jesus Christ. He's the one that unifies us and gives us a natural bond. And community was something God had in mind for us from the very, very beginning. And it's true, my relationship with Jesus Christ is very personal. I have a personal relationship with my Savior. But it was not just meant to be personal. It was meant to be experienced corporately too. It was meant to be shared in a community. We were meant to become the body of Christ together. We were never, ever, ever, ever meant to operate solo. We were never meant to do the Christian life like that. We were meant to experience it together. And I have a video to show you. It's 11 years old. I was actually pregnant with my second son during this when this video was made. And it highlights just how important community is. And one of the stars of this video is our very own Scott Humphreys, who has moved to Nashville but is still a Northside. So watch this silly video that we made. Northside Community Church. Woo! So the idea behind that whole video is we were never meant to do life on our own. And life is better together, especially when our common bond, our common unity is Jesus Christ. So when we say we want to grow in community, we're saying we want to grow in numbers. Of the people in our community, we want to grow in depth within our community. So that means we have people in our lives that we share our joys with and we share our burdens with. We have relationships that are on speed dial for prayer requests. We have people who have our best godly interests in mind. We have people who are going to pray for us without even having to ask them. We are just on their radar, and they are going to prayer before God for us. We have people that we want our children to be around because they're just great godly role models for our kids, right? We have people that we cannot imagine doing life without. That's community. And that's what the early church had. Remember this passage that we shared 2 weeks ago. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowships those who were being saved. This is community. And this is where Jesus was the center of this community, right? The community did not form because they had a similar trade, or they were part of a homeowners association, or that they loved to play basketball, or that they had similar age kids, or because they had the same love of fashion or for cats, right? These groups form because of their faith, their love, their devotion for Jesus. That's why they came together. And this common bond was so important to them. It was so intrinsic to who they were, is that they centered their entire lives around it. So they worshiped at church because they loved Jesus. They met in homes because they all loved Jesus. They ate because they were hungry. But they shared their food because they loved Jesus. They praised together because they loved Jesus. I mean, can you picture it? What do you think happened if someone in the group got sick, right? Did it take 2 weeks to find out? No way. They knew instantly. Why? Because they were a part of each other's lives. So what did they do? They made meals, and they watched each other's kids so the other person could rest, and they helped him any way we can. I'll do your lawn, or I'll do your shopping for you. It was community. Can you picture it? And what do you think happened if two people in the group fell in love, and they got married? Well, they celebrated it, and they supported it, and they went out and bought all and everything and made everything that they would need for that special day, and they prayed for that couple to grow up and to love each other and to be unified in Christ. Community. Can you picture it? And what do you think happened if someone in the group got off track? Someone in the group decided, I'm not doing anything this. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to go marry a Canaanite wife. I'm going to do all these things that I know God does not want me to do. Well, guess what? They went after that person. They went after that person. And did they talk to that person? And they loved on that person. And they prayed for that person. And they didn't kick them out and say, hey, you're out of here. They went after them. It's community. Can you picture it? And what do you think happened if someone's field burnt down? They lost their income, their food, their homes. Everybody stepped up. They housed them. They shared meals with them. They gave them their jammies. You know, they did this kind of stuff. They helped the family rebuild. It's community. Can you picture it? Community is God's plan for our lives. It's what unites us and what he desires. He gives us a family. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ to become a family that helps each other grow our faith. Community encourages us in our faith. Look what Romans 1 says. For as long as I For I long to visit you. This is Paul speaking to the early church, so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. Encouraging faith, that's what the community is supposed to do. A kind word, a cheer to keep strong in our faith, a verse of wisdom or affirmation or comfort, a prayer with or for, a note to say, I'm praying for you, a call to say, God brought you to my mind today. I don't know what's going on with you, but I am praying for you. An encouraging reminder to remind us who our God is when we're getting down and out, when we're feeling discouraged and we're feeling like, is there a God? A friend comes by and says, oh, there is, because let me tell you about what he's done for you in the past that you just can't think of right now because you're so down. You know, when Paul wrote this to the early Christians, it wasn't like they were having a heyday. Yeah, they were doing all those things in the homes, but they were under persecution. They were economically persecuted. They were physically persecuted. They were socially persecuted. They needed some serious encouragement to stick with this Christianity thing. And they needed to remind each other who God was. They needed to say, hey, you know that God that totally parted the waters and freed us from Egypt? It's the same God we serve today. I need to remind you of that powerful God we have, because right now you're not feeling it. And they got together and they prayed for the same things that we deal with. Health problems, relationship problems, social problems, money problems. And they lifted each other up in prayer. And they encouraged each other. And then they said, hey, what about that Jesus? He just gave his life for us not too long ago. Let's sit and have some Lord's Supper right now, because right now we got to remember he broke his body and he shed his blood for us and our sins. Let's get together, because right now we're out of focus right now, and let's encourage each other that this Jesus Christ just died for us. They encouraged each other. Are you part of a community that encourages your faith? That reminds you that God is who he says he is? That reminds you that God is all that? That gives you scripture that prays for you? If you're not part of a community that does that, you gotta be. Because in community encourages our faith. You know, when I was a children's pastor, at the end of every class I taught, I would ask an application question. I would say, okay, after learning today, you know, how are you gonna live? What's gonna change here? What's the application here? Without fail, almost every week I would get the same response. And it was this: if my friend falls down, I will help them up. That was always it. That was always the response. And after hearing it dozens of times, I said to them, how often does this happen at your school? Because you'd be drinking milk or something like that, because it's an epidemic. Someone's always falling down, and then your application is always, I'm going to pick them up. So years later, when I was reading through the book of Ecclesiastes, had read through it before, never really paid attention to these two verses, but I busted out laughing. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. The kids were so spot on. If one falls, the other lifts them up. You know, for kids, that's encouragement to them. Literally, if they fall down, literally, they want someone to pick them up. But for adults, when we fall down, it looks different. We're depressed. You know, we're discouraged. We're anxious about bills and money and relationships and friends and health issues and work and bosses and homework. And our falls are different. But how true do we need someone there to help pick us up? That's community. That's the church. That's encouragement, right? Faith communities were meant to encourage each other so we can grow in our faith. Communities were also meant to correct us in our faith. I use this analogy a lot. I'm sorry if you heard it before, but I love it. If you saw somebody who was just, maybe they're on holiday or something. Holiday, one from England. They're on vacation, all right? They're on vacation, they're walking backwards, and they don't see that there's this huge cliff behind them, right? And you see that they're walking backwards, but the cliff is behind them. What are you gonna do to stop them? Stop! You're gonna yell at them. You're gonna say, stop, turn around, look where you're going. You are going to die a painful death. Stop what you're doing. You may run and grab them and pull them back from the cliff, right? Because you're serious about saving their lives. When we see a fellow believer going towards destruction, ignoring God's will for their life, choosing sin, we need to correct them. Because we love them, and we know that sin leads to death and destruction and not the abundant life God has for them. right? So we want to stop them from walking over the cliff. So if we see a fellow married believer having flirtatious, inappropriate conversations with someone who is not their spouse, we need to correct them. If you see a fellow believer making unbiblical choices with their money, it's affecting their family, we need to say something. If you hear a fellow believer gossiping, we need to correct them. If you hear a fellow Christian inaccurately teaching God's word, we need to correct them. If you know a fellow believer who is cheating the government or their school or their job, we need to say something. If you know a fellow believer who is addicted to porn or any other thing that is not a part of God's plan, we need to intervene. If we know a fellow believer who is consistently giving into their anger and it's affecting their choices and their words and their family and their actions, we need to address it. Community is here to correct us and to stop us from walking off a cliff. Here's the thing, it takes a lot of guts to speak truth into someone's life. And many of us, we go silent, right? Fearing that it's either going to mess up our relationship, we're going to sound judgmental, we're going to come across that we're not loving, but here's the biggie, where they're going to say something to us about our lives, yeah. Right? I don't want to say anything because that gives them room to come back and say, what about you? What about us? We need to hear the correction too. That's how the community comes together. So if you're pointing out someone to something and someone comes back and says, yeah, but what about you? You got to say, thanks. Thanks for pointing that out to me, because maybe that was a blind spot, or maybe I thought I was getting away with it, but it's evident that I'm not. And I need to deal with it too, because I don't want this getting in the way between my relationship with my Lord nor my relationship with the body of Christ. 2 Timothy says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Gently correct in love. Do you have a community that speaks truth into your life? Do you speak truth into a community that you're a part of? Communities are meant to correct each other in our faith, because it's going to help our faith grow. Communities also give support. Acts 4, I think, best describes this. And now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Do you feel that picture? And no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. Can you imagine that? For as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Communities are meant to give support, tangible, real support, not just high fives and hugs and bended ears. It means stuff, meals and money and supplies and services. Your child needs shoes? Here you go. You need a ride? Here you go. You need food? Here you go. You need someone to pick up your child from school? Here you go. You need someone to visit your aging parent? I'll go this week. Tangible support. And in this community, I love there was no mine. There was no mine. And they were okay giving it to everybody because the people most likely they were giving it to had already given what they had for somebody else. There was no time to sit there and go, ooh, how did they manage their money? Or did they make a bad choice spending here? Because they had already surrendered everything. So it was very easy to say, here you go. What is mine is now yours, because there is no mine. They shared each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. Communities are meant to support each other, and that helps grow our faith. The last thing communities are meant to do for each other is they are meant to fight for each other. The community fights for each other. 1 Peter 5:8 talks about our enemy. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, Satan knows that communities that work right and are growing in numbers and growing in their faith make believers stronger, and they live their lives to please God. Satan does not want that. He wants you to isolate yourself. He wants to pick you off one by one when you are weak. He wants you to think nobody loves you, nobody values you, you are not heard, you are by yourself, you are not important. He wants you to feel isolated so that he can come right in and take you away for the plan that God has for your life. He wants to take you away from that because his plan is destruction. God's plan is abundance. So he wants to take you away from that. I have a video to show you. For those, I didn't make this one. And for those of you who are sensitive, like me, I want to assure you that everything ends well on this video. So I'm gonna set up, let me set up the video. What just happened here is there was a family of water buffaloes. You know, I'm sensitive to them since I'm from Buffalo. There was a family of water buffaloes, and the little water buffalo got a little bit away from the family, okay? Then there was these pride of lions who came, and they picked off the little water buffalo. And so now I take you to a scene where the lions are eating the little water. It ends, okay. Water buffalo lives. We are the water buffaloes, right? That's what the faith community is supposed to do. We are the water buffaloes. If one of us gets attacked, if one of us is heading off in a different direction, if one of us we know is dancing with the devil at night, we're the water buffaloes. We stay together. We do not allow one of us to get destroyed by the devil. We fight for each other. We fight for the weak. If one of your friends is having a hard time with your faith, you fight for them. You pray for them. You intervene for them. If somebody is having a hard time with their relationship and you know their marriage is almost over, you fight for their marriage. We're the water buffaloes. In communities, we fight for each other, right? And we might have to use scripture. They might be believing lies at the time. We say, that's not what the word, God's word says. Just like Jesus fought Satan in the wilderness. That's not what God's word says. God's word says this. We fight for the community. Communities were meant to fight for each other. Do you have a community that fights for you? Are you a part of a community that you fight for? Community is important. It encourages us, it corrects us, it gives support, and it fights for each other. Let me be clear what community is not. Community is not perfect. None of us are perfect. There is no perfect community. Sometimes we struggle. One person in the community might hurt another person's feelings. One person in the community might make a bad decision that affects another person in the community. Sometimes feelings get hurt. Sometimes things get missed. You know, sometimes you might not have been, we might not have known that you needed support and we missed it, we messed up. Communities are not perfect. What's the worst thing you can do when you feel your community has let you down? Leave the community. You know, so many people leave churches, they leave Bible studies, they leave friend groups because they got hurt. If a community is centered on Jesus, his teaching, reconciliation and forgiveness can happen. You do not have to leave. But the hurt, the sin, the brokenness needs to be addressed. We need to talk about it, right? And then we need to handle it in truth and love and grace. Because our Heavenly Father doesn't want his kids to be disunified. He wants unity among us. Community is also not meant to be selective, right? Back when the early church was forming, it wasn't based on anything other than their common bond in Jesus Christ. It wasn't based on age, or how much you have in common, or the ages of your kids, or your ethnic food, or your fashion, or whether you're married, divorced, widowed, or single. Your community included everyone. There was no favoritism. There were no cliques. There were no exclusions. And it was the same care for everyone in the group. If one person was hurting, they were all hurting. If one person was happy, they were all happy. 1 Corinthians says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Other thing, a community is not, doesn't happen by accident. You don't just fall and stumble into a community that's loving and supporting and correcting and building one another up. It doesn't just happen like that. You work for it. You get involved in people's lives. You get yourself out there. You say hello. Remember our action step on Step Up Sunday? You talk to someone new. You move your seat around. You plug on a team that's serving. You make a meal. You give someone a ride. You go after it. And that is how it's going to grow. It does not happen by accident. You have to go after it. Community was not meant to be occasional. Hebrews 10:25 says, not neglecting to meet together as if the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You want community? You have to make it a priority, right? You gotta be consistent. You may be shocked by this, but I do not have community with Billy Graham, the Newsboy singer Michael Tate, Stephen Baldwin, or Kirk Cameron. We all have a bond of Jesus Christ. We all are saved. We're all Christians. But we do not share meals together. We do not exchange phone numbers. We do not worship together. They are not my emergency contacts for my kids. They're not my community. This is my community, right? This is my community. And if you show up to church one time a month or every other time to your small group, you will never get past the basic, how are you? You will never go deep, right? You'll get used to, hey, how's school? Good. How's work? Good. But community, it takes time and consistency and attention. It needs to be a priority. It won't happen by accident, and it won't happen if it's occasionally. You know, sadly, most Christians, we're relationship impoverished. We are. The community that we have is very small, and it should be much bigger and much deeper. You know, we can blame it on the recliner. We can blame it on the bucket seats. We can blame it on the screens or the air conditioner or the attached garage. But really, the blame comes down to me, us, you. If you want community, you can have community. But it's going to be up to you to see that happen. Northside's vision, grow in community. I'm going to give you some ideas in closing that you can do just to get this started, because this may feel scary to you. It might feel overwhelming to you. Make church a priority. Be here consistently. You're going to see that community just grow naturally that way. Talk to someone new. I'm going to keep saying that because you don't know if there's a best, your lifetime best friend is in this room and you just have never talked to them yet, right? Join a small group. You want to get community fast? Join a group of 8-10 people. You're going to have a lot more conversation. You're going to go deeper, much quicker. If you want to be a part of a small group, let me know. Serve someplace. When you're serving with people doing stuff, you fast-track relationships. But the most important thing I can tell you is you got to set your mind on it. If you want it, set your mind on it. And then do it so that you have this community that God desires for you to grow your faith. Can you picture what it would be like? They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Heavenly Father, thanks that you never expected us to do life on our own. Not only did you give us the Holy Spirit as our guide and our comforter and our convictor and the presence inside us that we knew we are never apart from you, you gave us the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is meant to operate in powerful ways of supporting and comforting and building up and encouraging and even correcting, God, and fighting for one another. So I pray if there's anyone here today, and I know that there are, and maybe their community is weak in numbers and they're weak in depth, I pray, Father, that you would help them set their mind to it, that they would be filled, Father, with a community that cares for them and loves them and shares their joys and shares their burdens and becomes that family of God that you established so long ago for your church. It's in your name we pray. Amen.